the book of Mark, chapter 15. I want to read three verses in this chapter. I'd like to ask you to stand with us today as we look into a portion of God's Word and honor it. Mark chapter 15, verse 37. In these verses here, we see that Jesus is upon the cross, giving His life, shedding His blood for me. Preacher, this is about somebody else. No, it's about me. It's about you. Bible says in verse 37, and Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that, he so cried out and gave up the ghost. He said, truly this man was the Son of God.
Amen.
Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for the Word of God, for the peace of God, for the forgiveness that we have through Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for salvation. Lord, I pray for this congregation today that you would allow us to hear the Word of God. I pray, God, you'd make preaching easy for me. I always have that knot in my stomach, and you know it. I pray today, God, you'd help us, Lord, and it just flow out as you see fit. For, Lord, we ask your touch upon this service. Do that which needs to be done. We praise you, and we thank you, and we love you. And we ask these favors in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. See this same thought continued through many of the Gospels. I want to see it again in Luke 23. Down in verse number 47. Luke 23, verse 47. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. Now, if I asked in this service today, if any of you is truly righteous today, stand up. There probably wouldn't be a soul stand up in this house. But Jesus would stand. There's none good, no, not one, but Jesus. Get to thinking about that day, crucifixion day. What a horrible, wretched scene it must have been that day outside of Jerusalem, when our Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins. Can you imagine there as all of hell was unleashed upon Jesus that day outside Jerusalem? Can you imagine there as those that should have been his friends, the religious crowd, made sure that Jesus was put to death? Imagine that day when his own hand-picked disciples, those that saw him touch blind eyes and cause him to see, and deaf ears and cause him to hear, watched many and most of those disciples as they scatter abroad. His own personal friends would leave him to die there alone and in agony on that cross. I want to say that that day outside the walls of Jerusalem was a horrible day. Yet it was one of the greatest days that would ever dawn. It was a day that my sins would be forgiven. It was a day that I could be saved. What a wonderful day. It was a day that the Lamb of God was led up Calvary's hill, and he just laid his life down there for you and I. In that story this morning, I see the two thieves on the cross, the criminals. I see the soldiers gathered around there who had mistreated him. I see all the religious leaders as they stood there. I see a great crowd. I see a few friends, a few loved ones. I see Mary, his mother, and John, that beloved disciple. I see that those ones in the crowd. But There are two this morning that really just leap off the page in my heart this morning to speak to you about. And the first one is that criminal, that thief hanging on the cross, who had mocked and reviled and railed on him, but finally came to the conclusion and said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." That man was on the cross to be put to death because he was a thief. The other one that jumps out is this centurion that we've just read about. He stood there at the bottom of the cross, seeing all these things take place. The one man hanging on the cross was there to be put to death. The centurion was there to make sure these men were put to death. Two different reasons. But on this same day, these two men that are there from different perspectives, they're from different ends of the spectrum, are united through the blood of Jesus Christ as both the centurion and that one thief would be saved that day. You know, I realize you may come from a different place than I do, but we've all together in the blood of Jesus Christ today, we're one. Hallelujah. Our brothers and sisters, we are in Christ. I want us to think about this centurion for just a little bit. Verse 47, we see the Bible calls him a centurion. To me, that means he is a commander. He is a captain of 100 men. I don't know who his mama was, who his daddy was, his brothers, his sisters. I don't know what his previous life was like, but I know he was a centurion, over 100 men, and his detachment had charge of crucifixion. No doubt in his lifetime, in his service to the Roman Empire, he'd seen many a man crucified. He was one of the best, most professional at his calling to crucify men you've ever seen. He was a brutal man. He was a bloodthirsty man. And he had just become completely callous to the fact men hanging on a cross to bleed and die. It got to the point that it didn't even bother him or faze him anymore. But there was something about the centurion that day that saw in this man named Jesus that hung on that center cross that was different about him than anybody else, because that centurion had never confessed Jesus until that day. And I wonder what it was. We see this commander, and I get it thinking about the cross that Jesus bore. Maybe it was the cross Jesus bore. You think about it. They had scourged him, probably beyond the normal scourging. A lot of folks say it was 39 lashes, and you realize on each one of those Roman scourges, there was a cat of nine, it was a cat of nine tails with a piece of bone, at least nine leather straps on the end of it with a piece of bone on it, that when it whipped into that body, those nine pieces of bone were sharp and would pierce the flesh and catch, and then it'd be jerked back out and make at least 1 or 2 inch gashes in the skin, and blood would just go everywhere. And I realized that normal whippings, normal beatings would take 39 lashes times nine cuts a piece and 2 inch gashes in each one. But according to the Romans, they didn't have that law that said you couldn't beat a man more than 39 lashes. They could have beat him many more times than that we know about. Think about how they slapped him through the face and how they beat him. How they spit upon him. I wouldn't spit on you for nothing. Hey, but our righteousness is his filthy rags. I deserve to be spit upon. I deserve to go to hell. But my Savior had done nothing wrong, and they slapped him and beat him and scourged him, and they spat upon him. They ridiculed him and made fun of him, made sport of him, in other words. Put a purple robe on him, put a crown of thorns and a reed in his head, and bowed before him and said, "Hail to the King." Well, I'll tell you what, one of these days their knees will really bow again to the King of Kings, and their tongues will confess that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords to the glory of God the Father. I'll tell you what, I see the brutality of the cross, and yet look with me in verse 32. There were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. We've seen the brutality of the cross that Jesus bore. Most other prisoners were not beaten and slapped around like that. The Bible says in Isaiah that his visage, in other words, the way you looked at him was more, so marred, more than anybody else could have ever been marred. He was so beaten. No other criminal had ever been beaten like that. I think when the Roman centurion saw this man named Jesus, he saw him as he came up Calvary's hill there as he looked, and they beckoned Simon the Cyrenian to come carry the cross the rest of the way. I think the centurion knew that no man had ever been beaten just like this man had. And yet, they put him on that cross, they laid him down there, and they put the spikes into his hand there, and they began to drive that spike. Never before had the Roman centurion had a man who didn't cuss him. Never before had the Roman centurion had someone who just lay himself down and suffered to be so. Never before had he heard someone when they put the nails into him that did not scream bitter horror screams of agony. Oh! Most criminals would cry. But I don't think Jesus did. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 that he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and he opened not his mouth. If you were to take me today and try to carry me off just to escort me to a prison, much less to be crucified, I'd fight you every step of the way. I might say mean things, and I might try to jab you or punch at you as quick as I could, but not our Lord. He just laid himself down on that cross. And I think the centurion noted this man was more beaten than anybody else had ever been beaten. And I think he noted that this man just suffered it to be so. He just laid his life down on that cross. The centurion saw all these things. And I think the centurion saw Jesus' compassion. Let's see his compassion. He said in verse 34, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Think about that. That crowd that was there mocked him, ridiculed him. And as they lifted him up on the cross and said, "He saved others. If he be the Christ, the Son of God, let him save himself. Come now for the cross if you're really the Christ and we'll believe you." How they laughed at him and mistreated him and laughed as the blood was being shed there. Finally, they thought they had thwarted this man. And even in that, the centurion stood there and watch Jesus, the only times he would open his mouth, seven statements from the cross, he heard him say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I don't know if the centurion had ever heard anybody have that kind of compassion for the crowd. Even he looked down for his mother, even in his direst time of life, needs for his own body, he cared for his own mother enough to look down and said, "Woman, behold thy son." Not look at me, your son. Look at John. You're going to go home with John today. And he said to John, "Behold thy mother." In other words, you treat her as your mother. I mean, he had compassion for the crowd, for his own mother. He had compassion for you and I that day. We deserve to go to hell. I believe he saw us. I believe when he was on the cross, we were on his mind. I believe that today, don't you? You know, he had compassion for the criminal. Yes, he did. And one of the malefactors, verse 39, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And hanging on that cross, Jesus had compassion on a sinner and said, "Verily I say to thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Amen. And he saved him. Amen. I think the centurion stood there and he saw all these things taking place. He saw this one named Christ lay himself down. He saw him as they lifted him up and looked down probably at the centurion and towards the crowd and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do." I wonder, had he not said that, could the judgment of God fell upon all of them? He saw the criminal, the thief, as he's dying there. He saw that man repent. And he saw Jesus forgive him and had compassion upon him. I wonder if that centurion heard the cries Jesus made. Verse 47 says this again. When the centurion saw what was done, what do you think he saw? What do you think he saw? I think he saw a dying man, the Son of God, who was dying for our sins. And at the foot of that cross, that centurion would have stood and he would have heard everything Jesus said. Jesus made 7 statements from the cross. The first one he made was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Compassion. He said to that thief, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Forgiveness. He heard him over the book of Matthew where he cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which being interpreted is, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He didn't call him Father. He called him "my God, my God." Because when Jesus was made our sins, when our sins hung upon him, the Father had to look away. And I think it was the greatest thing. For the first time, the Father and the Son were separated because of my sins. I believe Jesus said, fourthly, to John and to his mother, "Woman, behold thy son, and behold thy mother." I think he said, fifthly, as he hung from the cross there, I think he said, "I thirst." And they reached him up, hyssop, full of vinegar. Just a sponge with vinegar all over it. I'm telling you, what if a dog would have got run over this morning in the parking lot? A lot of these young girls would have run out with something for it to drink for its last few moments. But when Jesus was dying and said, "I thirst," they gave him vinegar. I think sixthly, he said, "It is finished." That word there is tetelestai. It means there's not another action to be taken. There's not another step to make. Redemption has been completed. My salvation was completed. Bless his holy name. And I believe the seventh thing that he said was in verse 46. When Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. In other words, he just bowed his head and willed it to be so. He didn't die the way other criminals died on the cross. Matter of hours and all. I think Jesus, when it was completed, he just bowed his head and willed it to be so. And our redemption was complete. I think right there, those cries the Lord made. That's the thing that the centurion saw, the thing he heard. He saw his compassion. He saw his conduct. He saw his composure. He saw his cross. And I believe he heard his cries. But I want you to know there's something else too. There's some circumstances. Look in verse 45. It was about the 6th hour. That's 12 o'clock noon. And there was darkness over all the earth until the 9th hour. From 12 o'clock noon until 3 o'clock. Look outside. Look out these windows. Go ahead. It's all right. Go ahead and look. Beautiful sunshine today. If it got dark, you'd say, well, there's a storm right now going on. But even still with a storm blowing up, there'd still be enough light for you to differentiate the nighttime from the daytime. But on that day, when the Son of God bowed his head, willing to give up his life, complete darkness over the face of the earth. Not just over the cross, not just over the outside of Jerusalem, and I'm talking about over all the earth is what the Word of God says. Complete darkness. The sunshine that's shining right now, when he looked down and saw the Son of God hanging there, said, "I ain't going to shine on that. The one who made me," he bowed his head. And his light was put out. Complete darkness for 3 hours. I said it before, every day there's a rape. Every day there's a murder. Some act of violence. Look outside. No tell what crimes are going on now. But the sunshine still shines today. But on the day the Son of God was made my sin and your sin, the sunshine at the command of God Almighty himself refused to shine, and complete darkness was upon the face of the earth. I believe the centurion standing there, hearing those cries, seeing that cross, my friend, seeing this man's composure, saw the circumstances of complete darkness, and he had never seen a day like this. Not only that, but the book of Matthew tells us that when Jesus cried out with that loud voice, that there came earthquake. The ground began to shake. And in fact, before that, The veil of the temple rent from the top to the bottom. Now, if it rent because of the earthquake, it would have cracked from the bottom up. But it cracked from the top down. It was what God was doing for man. To give us access to come in under the veil into the Holy of Holies and call on His holy name and have our sins forgiven. I'm telling you, the centurion saw the earthquake and felt it. And can you imagine the emotions that must have been running through him, seeing all these things, and now complete darkness and the earth quaking. And the Bible says in the book of Matthew that when Jesus cried with a loud voice, many of the saints which slept arose. And they were seen running and going about upon the earth. Again, those that had been previously dead were loosed and were running around. You're looking at me funny like you don't believe that. Hey, it's in the Word of God in the book of Matthew. Amen. It's there. And when the centurion saw that dead people had arisen and the darkness was upon the earth and the earth was quaking the way it was and this man on the cross had done nothing wrong and how they had treated him, he realized this is no ordinary man. He says this is a righteous man. This truly was the Son of God. Now think about it. His own disciples, knowing that, are afraid for their lives and scatter. Pilate saying, I can find no fault with him. Behold the man that I find no fault with. This centurion that reported to all the Roman leadership. This centurion in front of a bloodthirsty crowd and mob that had been saying, crucify him, crucify him. This centurion stands there and says, in spite of the, if it hair lift the devil, he's going to say it. Truly, this was the Son of God. And I believe just like that, he was saved. Don't you? I believe he got saved. I remember the night I confessed. Truly, I believe he's the Son of God. I'll never forget it. I want to say to you today, I don't know what it was that convicted this centurion and made him make that statement. But there was a lot of factors that caused him to confess. You know, friend, I don't know what it's going to take for you before you really get saved. You can come in here and act like you are. Go through all the motions all you want to. That's fine. I don't know what it's going to take. But if one dying on the cross for your sins ain't enough. If one on the third day he arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave is not enough. If the Holy Ghost is not enough to draw you and compel you. Friend, I don't know what sign you're waiting on. I've been around people said, well, I need a sign. I need a sign. I need a sign. You don't need a sign. He's already told you you're lost. He's already told you you need to be saved. Y'all just mind him. Did he save you? You remember that night you was under conviction that day? Ooh, it was awful, wasn't it? Felt terrible. I'm telling you what, felt like you got run over by a Mack truck. Heart beating out of your chest. Thought the way the world's coming down on you. And all you did was go to Jesus and bow there and confess yourself a sinner and He your Savior. And all your sin was washed away. How'd you feel when you got up? Woo! Peace. Hallelujah for the first time. Joy like I've never had before. You think you can get high on drugs or drink or do whatever. I'm telling you what, till you get high on Jesus, you ain't never had anything like that before in your life. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. You stand with me this morning. That's the message the Lord wanted me to preach today. If you folks would come to the instruments and play very briefly. You pray what? You just play whatever God's laid on your heart. Might be some Christians in this house today. You need to be praying. You need to hit this old-fashioned altar. You need to seek God's face. Maybe you just need to come down here and say, Lord, I've thanked you before. But I intend to thank you again. Boy, I think about that cross. And all the sins you bore of mine, oh, that's too great a love for me to ignore. It's too great a love for me to reject. I won't recognize you. I won't bow there. Might be somebody they say, you know what, I know I'm saved, but boy, I sure have sinned recently. I want to get in that altar and confess to Him. I've not done what I should. He loved me the love that's divine. And I've not done like I should. I've not lived like I ought to. I've not witnessed. My works have not been right. And today I want to bow myself and ask Him to forgive me. Because that same blood that He shed, it still cleanses us from all our sins. Oh, there's forgiveness today in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I know what that centurion would do if he was here today. He wouldn't care if it hurled the devil. He wouldn't care what you thought about it. He'd hit that altar, friend, and he'd say, "Truly, He's the Son of God, and I want to thank Him today that He can overcome the Roman Empire. He can overcome the clutches of death. He's my friend, and He is my Savior." I'm asking today, as the Holy Ghost invite you to come, would you mind Him today then, as He speaks to your heart? Folks are moving, friends. What about you? Before we pray, we'll pause just for the moment.